Relic of a Bygone Day. In the year 1940, a boy and girl from different parts of rural Kansas met at the State University and fell in love. It is said she was drawn to him by his striking green eyes. He also had hair curling over his ears and forehead because he begrudged the price of a haircut. She gave him a trim with her sewing scissors. She had a summer job lined up at a resort called Troutdale in the Pines. She said she could get him a job there too, as a bellhop. He agreed. They took the train to Colorado and found a justice of the peace. She had to swear on a Bible she really was over 16 years of age. They shared the trials of all young people in those years. Bombs dropped on a distant place known as Pearl Harbor inspired him to enlist in the Air Corps. He was assigned to train as a celestial navigator because he'd gotten an A in astronomy. She saw a bit of the world, visiting him at posts in Texas and Idaho. They endured separation when he shipped out for the Pacific. After the war, rather than make babies like so many young couples, this pair focused on their careers in law and medicine. Such heights of respectability their families had never imagined. Weekends were for recreation, boating and camping. War and the Depression years seemed long past. They feathered a pleasant nest for themselves, a spacious apartment. Among their first purchases was an elegant chair from one of the finest stores in Topeka. It featured carved maple legs and frame, gold brocade with goose down stuffing, glossy brass upholstery tacks. It was his chair. After more than a decade as the yuppies of their day, our couple finally started a family. They moved to a larger city and built a house on 3 acres of land. Their children enjoyed great freedom. They climbed trees, swam in ponds, and ran through the neighbors' unfenced yards. Remembering the lean years, the parents begrudged nothing for their children's education. Music and dance class, sports equipment, books and art supplies, all were provided to their heart's content. The father planted trees around the house. The mother led a scout troop, baked birthday cakes, sewed party dresses by hand. Those days were cut short by the mother's untimely death. The children, not yet out of high school, faced the tricky business of maturing with abruptly reduced supervision. Their home life began to break apart. The father showed signs of withdrawal that his children did not understand. He scarcely left the house except to go to work, and became critical of people he used to enjoy. Why wouldn't he come to the phone to talk to old friends? After 18 months a widower, he formed a relationship with a woman he'd met through work. They married that February, but his condition only got worse. He and his new wife seemed determined to erase the past. The children avoided a home that no longer felt like theirs. Eventually, the eldest son started a job in Kansas City. He took the elegant chair along, as well as a few other items his father gave up from the old household. In Kansas City, the son had a dog. She was affectionate, but undisciplined. Over the course of 2 years, she ruined the brocade fabric on the old chair. When he needed to relocate again, the boy offered the chair in its reduced condition to his sister. She did not have a place of her own at the time and was also planning a move out of state. But she couldn't bear to think their father's chair might be abandoned. Surely it could be made good as new with a bit of spit and polish. Over the objections of her young husband, she put the chair on a truck and transported it to Ohio. 3 more moves and 1 divorce later, the sister had come no closer to restoring the chair. In fact, it was now badly scratched and lacked a bottom cushion. For 10 months, it stood in an open carport, exposed to heat, cold, and leaks. At the end of that time, on the fourth move, the chair failed to make it onto the truck. The woman had been told many times she could buy a new chair for less than it would cost to redo that old one. And besides, she could not lift and load it by herself anymore. She remained in the same town. Remembering the chair with regret, she often passed by her former apartment to see if it might still linger in the carport. There it stood, awaiting a turn in her fortunes. She let herself believe, despite the transient quality of the old neighborhood, the chair might yet be reclaimed. Another few years passed, maybe 4, even 8. When the sister remarried and came into a bit of disposable income, she thought of the chair. Was it still harboring mice under the corrugated metal roof? She drove by one more time. Alas, no. Back in Kansas, the father developed a serious illness. The daughter wrote several letters, but he could not reconcile with his children. The brother and sister did their best to keep in touch. This proved difficult after he moved to Portland, Oregon. They did not get together for many seasons. Still, they tried to be good people and offered each other long-distance moral support once or twice each year. One morning, the sister and her new husband were walking to work. They took a shortcut along the railroad tracks, past an old factory that now served as a recycling center. Near a loading dock on the gravel berm along the tracks, the woman caught sight of an odd item, something like a weathered bowling pin or piece of driftwood, something you'd find washed up after a storm. Coming close, she saw it was a broken remnant of a man-made object, the carved leg of a chair. Completely stripped of stain or finish, it still held half a dozen upholstery tacks and shreds of tawny fabric. Her husband said it looked like the head of a dragon or some fantastic creature. The woman could not say what it looked like, for she could hardly speak. Much later, it occurred to her that losing everything after a free, indulgent upbringing, maybe it was some cosmic recurrence of their parents' own losses as children in the Depression, how their mother got farmed out to live with relatives when her dad lost his last prospect of income, how their father gleaned potatoes while the family kept up genteel appearances. Maybe, she thought, there could be some lesson. Realizing such things from the past affect us today. I don't know about that, but after their father's lonely death, at least the brother finally came to visit. The two children were now approaching the age at which their mother had died 30 years before. They talked about history, sorted old photographs, and reminisced about their happy childhood more rather than less. With so much to catch up on after all those years apart, wouldn't you know, she forgot to show him that crazy dragon head chair leg. Really now, what do you think? Could it possibly be?